Hello, beloved, and welcome to this evening's message, where we are looking at the book of Revelation. We are busy with our 19th part of the book of Revelation, and we are still looking at the church in Sardis. This is the last part of Sardis that we're going to look at, and it is found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. So if you want to turn there, you're more than welcome. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1 to 6. Okay, before we continue though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name, and thank you that we can study the book of Revelation, and thank you that we can have Jesus Christ revealed to us in the pages of the book of Revelation. I pray, Father, that as we study your word, as we study about the revelation of Christ, that you will make it clear to us, and that we will grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. Because at the end of the day, Father, we want to glorify you. And may your name be glorified as we study this passage of scripture this evening, and as we take what we learn and apply to our lives during the week to come. This we pray in Jesus' precious, glorious name. Amen. All right. So we're looking at Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Now, what we've already looked at is some of Jesus' attributes in verse 1. We see that he has the seven spirits of God, and he has the seven stars. Now, we've also seen that Jesus is the one who does an evaluation of the church, and then he finds them spiritually dead. But they were known as a spiritually living church among the other churches. But Jesus found them spiritually dead. And that's quite an evaluation to make. But remember, Jesus is the one who is in charge of his church. He's the one that is in control. He knows his church. He knows his people. So in that sense, Jesus Christ is the one that can evaluate his church. But there's some good news in the church in Sardis, because it tells us that some in Sardis were alive. In verse 3, Jesus basically reminds them to hold on to the gospel, to repent if they need to repent, and then to get ready for the return of Christ. Okay, so that's basically what Jesus tells them. Okay, these people who are still alive within the church. And I believe specifically verse 3, where Jesus reminds them to hold on to the gospel, to repent, to get ready for the return of Christ, I think it's good advice to everyone who has an ear to hear what Jesus Christ, the head of the church, has to say to one of his congregations. So if you have an ear to hear, and you're hearing, and you have not been holding on to the gospel, if you have not repented of your sin, if you're not ready for the return of Christ, then maybe it's time to listen. Maybe it's time to listen and to react. Right now, let's look at Jesus' words to the church in Sardis. And we look at it in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 3. This is what Jesus says. You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Beautiful words, isn't it? You see, even in a church where the head of the church declares that they are spiritually dead, there's a remnant of people who hold on to the gospel of Christ, who would repent of their sin, and who would basically be ready and get ready and have an expectation of the return of Christ. Now, Jesus says that there are a group of believers, like a few believers in Sardis, and he says they did not defile their garments. Now, this idea of defiling the garments is actually beautiful figurative speech. You see, those believers who did not defile their garments, they were actually godly in character. Because the garments refers to their character. So there were a few believers who did not smear their character or pollute or stain their character. Okay, because their character was the thing that basically defined who they were. Their character. And I want you to keep this in mind because this is important. It was their character that defined who they were. Okay? Because Jesus said they did not defile their garments, which means they did not defile their character. They had a certain character, and they did not defile that character. They did not smear their character, or pollute their character, or stain their character. Now, this is huge. This is really huge. You see, when God saves us, and we are regenerated by God's Spirit, then what God does is, He works it in us to be changed daily, on a day-by-day basis, to be changed into the image and likeness of Christ, so that we can reflect His character. Not our own character. We all have, and I mean, if you look at people all over the world, you will find people that has good characteristics, nah? That really has good characteristics. And by the way, I believe those characteristics are there because we are created in the image and likeness of God. Now, we are creating God's image. So anything good, any good character trait that we have is because we're created in the image of God. But sin came and sin just basically defiled it, destroyed the beautiful character. So we've got a few good character traits in each one of us. Even in sinners, you will find good character traits. But that's because we created in the image of God, but sin really came and destroyed it. So what God is now doing is God is now changing us from inside to reflect the image of Christ, because He wants our character to be the character of Christ. Okay, that's what God is doing. And He's doing it in every believer. And let me tell you, God will use anything to change us into the image and likeness of Christ. He will use suffering, persecution, affliction, pain. He will use family members that goes against us. He will use enemies. He will use anything to, at the end of the day, change our character into the character that He wants. And the character that God wants is Christ-likeness. The character of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what God wants. Okay. And by the way, the longer we walk in step with the Lord, you know, the longer we walk with Christ, the longer we know Christ and really walk in step with Him, we will notice that the person's character will resemble the character of Christ more and more and more. You will just see a Christ-likeness in a person who's walked with the Lord for quite a while. That's amazing. That's so beautiful to see. So, God is in the character-building business, beloved. That's what God is doing. Building character in His people. And that is, so absolutely amazing. Okay, now, we can only show the character of Christ if we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who works in us to become more Christ-like. An unbeliever, an unsaved person that does not have the indwelling Holy Spirit, cannot exhibit the character of Christ. As I said, he or she can exhibit some aspects, some good character traits, but it's because of the fact that they are created in God's image, but not because they are becoming Christ-like. It's the Holy Spirit that works Christ-likeness in the believer. Now, in the church in Sardis, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, basically declares that some in Sardis still reflect Christ-likeness, or let's call it godly character. He says some still reflect that. That was a positive within the church. Now, Jesus says in verse 4 that these believers who still show these godly Christ-like character traits, they shall walk with Jesus in white. Now, we know from the rest of Scripture that white is a color that represents purity and holiness. Nah? Now, the white garments are actually reserved for Christ Jesus. We read about that in Matthew chapter 17. These white garments are reserved for the holy angels, Matthew 28. And then these garments are reserved for the glorified church. We read about that in Revelation chapter 19. So when Jesus says that they will walk with Jesus in white, it's because he knows that the glorified church will receive these white garments. Beautiful picture, isn't it? Now, in ancient times, people wore white robes during festivals and celebrations. And it was these beautiful sights of people wearing, all these people wearing white. So beautiful. Just think of the picture that when everybody in heaven is wearing white to resemble holiness and purity. And there's this multitude of people dressed in white garments before the throne of God, and then they bow before him. Oh, what a beautiful picture that is. I just tried to picture it in my mind, but it's overwhelming. Because in the presence of God, there's going to be brilliance and holiness and the Shekinah glory of God. And then all the saints dressed in white garments, they're all there. Oh, what a picture. What a beautiful, beautiful picture, beloved. I mean, wow. It is absolutely amazing. It's going to be a glorious, glorious day, a moment when everybody is assembled with Christ. Now, when Jesus says that the believers in Sardis will walk with him in white robes, it actually tells us that they will be pure and holy, that they will be in a festive mood, and they will be ready to celebrate. Jesus actually says that they are worthy. Do you pick that up? He says they are worthy. Now, how is it possible for them to be worthy to walk with Christ? Your beloved, humanly speaking, they have nothing to make them worthy. In fact, the fact that they walk with Jesus in white robes tells us that they were made worthy. Not that they have any worth in themselves. We can also say that they were caused to be worthy to walk with Jesus. In fact, they were not defiled in character. That tells us that God the Holy Spirit indwelled them and basically enabled them to have godly character. And the Holy Spirit in them enabled them to be counted worthy to walk with Christ. This is not something that they have in themselves, a worthiness. Oh, you know what, I'm worthy to walk with Christ. That's not what it's about. No, this is being made worthy. This is being declared worthy. It is the Holy Spirit from within causing the believer to be worthy to walk with Christ. Yo, beloved, it's big. It's huge, this. Now, when we get to verse 5 of Revelation chapter 3, we read the following. He says, "And he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, the first thing that we need to say to one another, and this is clear from all the letters that Jesus basically gave to his churches, is that all believers are overcomers because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because he overcame, we are overcomers. Because we are in Christ, everything that Christ has becomes ours. We are basically partakers in everything that he has accomplished. It's got nothing to do with the fact that I am an overcomer because I can do this and I can do that and all that kind. No, it's because I am in Christ. I have faith in Christ and I've been placed in Christ and I'm part of Christ in that sense, spiritually speaking, by faith and by grace through faith. I am an overcomer because he's an overcomer. I am victorious because he is victorious. I can reign because he reigns. I hope you understand. So it's nothing in us that basically causes us to be overcomers. There's nothing in us or that we have done to declare that we are overcomers. It is because of what Christ has done and the fact that He overcame that we are overcomers. It is because of Christ and because of the fact that we are in Christ. Okay, notice that those who overcome, that is, all believers, they shall be clothed in white garments. So they will be covered in purity and holiness. We've looked at that. And it will be done to them. I mean, they have no part to play in it. Please, you must notice that. You must see that. It says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. Okay, they shall be clothed, which means it is done to them. And he says, I will not blot out their name or his or her name from the book of life. Once again, it's something that Christ does. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Something that Christ does. Huh? Okay. So in this context, it's very important that they will be covered with purity and holiness. Sorry, but it will be done to them. They have no part to play in it. It is something that they receive. It is done to them. Yeah, that's the best way to say it. So to be an overcomer is basically a gift of God. To persevere in the faith is a gift of God. To receive a white garment is a gift from God. To be perfectly holy in the sight of God is a gift of God. To be pure and blameless and spotless is a gift from God. You see, to be Christ-like in character is something that God works in us. Beloved, so the promise that Jesus gives to overcomers is this. We will have moral character like Christ. We will be pure and holy, set aside for God and for His purpose. Okay? We will live a godly life. And it will be given to us as a gift. Isn't that amazing? But that's not all. Jesus says that He will not blot the believer's name out of the book of life. Now, what is the book of life? Let me quote John MacArthur when he, in his commentary on this verse, when he says, this is what John MacArthur writes. He says, the book of life is a divine journal that records the names of all those whom God has chosen to save and who, therefore, are to possess eternal life. Under no circumstances will He erase those names. So Jesus says that He will confess the names of the people in the book of life to God the Father and the holy angels. So He's going to basically say, these are mine. These are my children. They will never be lost because I will make sure that I save them at the end of the day. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them a holy character. I'm going to give them moral characteristics. I'm going to give them whatever is necessary for them to be able to enter into heaven and to be with me forever and ever. I will make sure of it. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to give him a white garment. I'm going to give him a garment of purity and holiness, and I'm going to change him from the inside out to look like me. All of that is part of what Jesus Christ does for the believer. It's just amazing. Now, the believers, these ones that Jesus speaks about right here at the end of the book, of the letter, sorry, they fall into the character or the category of people who did not deny Jesus, but they stayed true to Him. And they professed Him before the world, even though the odds were against Him, or against them. Still, they were just in a different category. I mean, the others thought people would think they were alive, spiritually alive, but they were dead. But there was this group. They stayed true to Christ. They professed Him before the world. And Jesus said that He will also profess them. You know, those who profess Him, He will also profess them. And He will do it where? Before the Father. and the angels who are in heaven. Oh, beloved, this is amazing. You see, the problem is, if you deny Jesus on earth, why would he go and profess you before the Father and the angels? No, it's for those who do not deny Jesus on this earth. They are the ones that he is going to profess before the Father and before the holy angels. And then the letter to, how can I say, to the church in Sardis ends with the words in verse 6, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Once again, Jesus ends with these words, listen, hey, if you've got ears to hear, listen. Use your ears. Use your ears, which means you need to evaluate. Beloved, you could be listening to this message and say, wow, this is all just so edifying. It's so amazing because I qualify. I'm like those, that little group of believers who will receive those white garments from Christ and will walk with Jesus Christ. And you can identify with every single thing that has been said about them. Praise the Lord for that. If you've got an ear, listen to what the Spirit has to say to the church, which means you are being encouraged. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. But if you are one of those who are actually spiritually dead, but you think you're alive, or you have a reputation among other people that you are alive, but actually you're dead, then you need to have an ear to listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin and righteousness and condemnation. So you can come to Christ Jesus by faith, repent of your sin, and start focusing and waiting on the return of Christ. There's this call in this passage, in this letter. Right, so we need to have ears to hear. We need to have ears to allow the Holy Spirit to evaluate us, to show us where do we stand. Each one individually. I've got to make it my own. I've got to say, where do I stand? In which category do I fall? Do I fall into the category of those who have, how can I say, a shine of godliness, that I am one of those people who others think that I am alive, but in actual fact I'm dead? I'm spiritually dead? Or do I fall into that category of people who are being clothed by Christ, being enabled by the Holy Spirit to have Christ-like character, being enabled by the Holy Spirit to be in the presence of God forever, being enabled to persevere in the faith? Which category do I fall? If you have an ear, hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Beloved, forget about me. Forget about the fact that I'm the one preaching the message. Listen to the Spirit speak. Be sensitive to the Spirit. And if you're not, I pray with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit will make you sensitive to be able to react the way that you need to react. Because here's the cry. He has an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And what the Spirit is saying, let me just give you a quick rundown as we work our way through this amazing letter of Jesus to the church in Sardis. Jesus knows everything. He evaluates his church. He pays close attention to detail, and we need to pay close attention to his evaluation. Believers need to, not just believers, but anyone needs to believe the biblical gospel. They need to repent if it's necessary and be ready for Christ's return. Another thing that the Spirit is telling us, to hold on to the truth of the gospel by faith. If you're not living a life that is pleasing to God, repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to Christ. Watch and be ready for Jesus' second coming. Persevere in your faith. Grow in godly character as the Holy Spirit works it in you. And our reward is going to be absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. The question that remains is, do you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Or are you deaf? Do you have ears to hear? Because if you do have, please listen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you, and thank you for this amazing letter of Christ to the church in Sardis, and we can learn so much. I pray, Father, please, in Jesus' name, to be glorified. Glorify yourself. And the word that went out, Father, and this is the part where it's so important, I pray, the word that went out that is from you to whoever might be listening. I pray, Father, that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which you set it out to accomplish. If there be a sinner, if there be somebody that has been people might think that that person is spiritually alive, but actually they're dead. I pray, may this be the word, may this be the day, may this be the moment where you draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, save sinners. Draw them to yourself. And I pray, please, may this be the day. May this be the moment. Not for anyone's sake, but for Christ's sake. And for your glory. And to obviously, Father, I say this because if a sinner comes to repentance, there is joy in heaven among the angels for a sinner who has come to faith in Christ. And I pray that there will be rejoicing in heaven for sinners who comes to you and repent of their sin and start having an expectation of the return of Christ, as it said in this passage. Oh, may this be alive in us for the rest of this week, Father, until we look at the next letter that Christ Jesus gave to the church. So I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you, may His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace. God willing, until next time. Bye-bye.